a few times. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that the Bnei Noach, the Bnei Korach, actually composed these words? That's one opinion. And some say no, it means David composed, and David gave it over to the singers. In his generation, they were descendants of the Bnei Korach, and David gave instructions that the only ones that should take the lead in singing these mizmorim are the descendants of Korach. Lam natzech for the conductor, al shoshanim. We'll see in a moment the word shoshanim is a special musical instrument. I guess it looks like a rose, livnei Korach, which according to our second interpretation means that only once, this just like the word lam natzech simply means, also as we mentioned many times, there are many interpretations of what it means lam natzech, but one interpretation is for the conductor. I give this composition over to the conductor to lead in its recital, both in the song, in reciting the words, and the musical instruments that accompany the levim that sing it, livnei Korach. But not everyone is allowed to participate. Not everyone. The only people that are allowed to participate both in singing and in playing musical instruments are people who present a yichus brief showing that they are descendants of Bnei Korach. Maskil? Sorry? Okay, that's right. But you had to bring a yichus brief to allow there are many levim. Mayor, are you from the Bnei Korach? Grass doesn't grow on busy streets. For the conductor, for the conductor. There are many interpretations. One interpretation means for the conductor. I call upon the conductor to lead the Jewish people in singing this song, but not and al shoshanim, there are many interpretations. Every single word over here, there's many interpretations, which means the musical instrument that should be the centerpiece of this presentation. This recital shall be a musical instrument called the shoshanim. Okay, there are many musical instruments. Probably the vast majority, we have honestly no clue as to what they look like and what these have been lost from us from history. What exactly is the shoshanim? Today, you know, in the modern world, there are so many different types of musical instruments. We all know the basic ones: the piano, the violin, the cello. There's the flute. Okay, the wind instruments, the string instruments, the percussion instruments, okay, the drums, okay, there are all different types of musical instruments, but there's a lot of detail in different types. What exactly is the shoshanim? I mean, maybe you'll go look in some encyclopedia, they're gonna show you instruments from the ancient times. Can anyone really put their finger and identify with certainty what exactly this musical instrument is? Very unlikely, but that's the simple interpretation, it's the musical instrument. And then it says Livnei Korach, which according to our
museum in Yerushalayim, but with all the instruments.
There are books, right, there are various cults, right. So again, okay, we definitely know it's
what it might be.
Absolutely. It might be something very, very simple. It might be right staring right in front of our eyes. It might be something very, very simple. Okay? And then Livnei Korach. So Livnei Korach is getting many Mepharshim learn that these first psukim is just an instruction as to who should play and which instruments and how it should be arranged. Livnei Korach. I'm not allowing every single person amongst the Levim to participate in singing of this song. You have to be a blood descendant of the Bnei Korach. Why? Maybe they have some type of gene where they can reach a certain pitch with their voice. I don't know. Or maybe it means that there's a message. There's a very important message in this mizmor that truly relates to the Bnei Korach. It's a takana for their father, for their ancestor Korach. That when they're in Eniklach, that when the Bnei Korach, when they will go and reflect upon what it says in this mizmar and sing it to Hashem with all of their heart, this will be a takana, it will be a zuchus for their great-great-great-grandfather who is in a lot of trouble. No one can deny the fact that Korach did enormous harm to Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk makes it very clear that the earth opened up and swallowed him up. He was a big machlekes, baal machlekes. He left over, he has something good going for him in that he has children. And children, Chazal say, can help their parents in the next world. Whatever, we don't know how we have a munah that a child says Kaddish for a year, it's mala, the neshama, So the Bnei Korach for all generations are given the task to be misaking the neshama of their ancestor, and it could very well be that whatever it says in this mizmar directly will help them in their mission in being misaken the defect in the neshama of Korach. And no one can deny Korach, don't make him to a tzaddik. Korach was a big Baal Machloikas. And we all know Baal Machloikas is the worst thing possible. Maskil, sheer yididois. Now what does that mean? Maskil means understanding. Okay, that's a very simplistic translation. It means wisdom. It's a very elevated form of wisdom. And then the last words are shir yididois, a song of love. Okay, yididois means love, which seems to imply that there are songs that are not of love. And in other words, it's true. In the Chanami, there are different types of prayers that we daven. Sometimes we daven, we say we daven, and we bring out the emotion of love. Sometimes there's more fear, and there are different types of fear. There's pacha, there's yira, there's yira sarimimus. There is awe. They're all different types. And there's love, and the different types of love. And then there's gratitude. You sing a shir of halal today, Rosh Chodesh. Halal v'hoidah. What's the chilek between halal, hoidah? Everything was shir. You have so many different types of expressions, and the Zmiras, okay, these things I have no idea, but obviously the human condition is extremely complex, and there are many different types of emotions, and the fact that David says that this is a shir yididois, a song of love, is a stop sign. Excuse me, we never had this until now. So what then are all of the other songs? What then is the meaning of all the other songs in Sefer Tehillim? What kind of songs are they? All right, so let's. So this is the opening line of this mizmar. Let me just look at the mitzudos and just a few words in the mitzudos on this pasuk before we delve into the text of this mizmar. What does it say over here in the mitzudos? David on page 400. Shoy shanim shame kli nigun. Asuya bitmunas shoishon. It is the name of a musical instrument that is formed in the tzura of a shoishon. What is a shoishon? A flower. Okay? Mausur. It also says shoishanim. Okay, so it's a type of a flower. What is the unique...
Razel is
shoishanim. Shoishanim. We have Chavatzeles, what is a Chavatzeles? Chavatzeles Hashoroin. Also, in other words, a flower of the location called Shoroin. So it appears there are different types of flowers. There are different colors. Each flower has a certain unique number of leaves. Okay, the Chavatzeles, there's a Shoishan, how many leaves? Some say there's 30. I don't know, I'm just talking off the top of my head. There are certain flowers that have exactly 13 leaves. So what's the number 13? 13 is Echad. It's Megmatria. What?
Besides roses, I've seen translation
of lilies. Lilies, roses. Obviously, the color makes a very big difference. Color has definitely a certain very powerful impact upon the person's impression. All right, so there's a lot going on over here, and the fact over here that the musical instrument is called a shoishanim.
Has thorns
to protect. What does it say? Bein habonois. Bein habonim. So we have all different types of musical tools. So this is something that is very, we have over here a lot of unique elements in this mizmar. Number one is, we never had this before, that we're over here, we're using a certain type of instrument, hakpada, only to use the shoishanim. Number two, we never had a mizmar that is called a shir yididois. Now, it's very intriguing. So what's so special about this mizmar? What is going to be the subject of this mizmar? So before we go and we see all the psukim, let's just get a very basic idea. according to the Mitzudos David. Okay, he doesn't say it here on the first pasuk. He says it a little bit later on. If you turn just a few pages, it's a very critical thing that he says, and I'm surprised he doesn't say it right away. He doesn't say it right away. He waits to say it until later on. He says that this entire mizmor was said by David in honor of the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, where exactly does that? Oimer, and if you turn to page 403.
Said by somebody else over here. One of the
Mefarshim
here says exactly that.
Okay, let's look for a moment. Right, 403, page 403. If you look in the Mitzudos David on the bottom, towards the bottom of the page, Oimer Ani, just jumping ahead for one moment. Bipsichas Divarai Ani Oimer Shemaisa Hashir Hazeh. Okay. By the way, there's a very beautiful expression of the Mitzudos David. He calls it a maaseh. It's a creation. Okay. It's a work of art. Okay, how do you say it in English? A literary work of art. When a person, it's not just a person you write. You don't just, it's not a boring. The koyach of being able to present something in words is a maaseh, is a creation. It's a powerful koyach of creativity to be able to communicate and to put. Melech HaMashiach. He also says, many Mefarshim say that. Right. So over here, just over the Mitzvot, we all know the Mitzvot, he said, Oimer Ani, Shemaise Asher Azeuchu al Melech HaMashiach. And he's going to describe the Melech HaMashiach in the most beautiful, flowery words that are really very, 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 very powerful. This Mizmar really, so far, what we've learned is very unique. It's a very powerful, passionate expression of love, describing someone as being the greatest of the great in such beautiful terms. And David describes this, his reference, the subject is the Melech HaMashiach. And it's very interesting to me because does everyone think about the Melech HaMashiach in such terms? Does everyone have such, you know, a leader, good leaders, if we would study history, are not necessarily people that you would describe with terms of love. A good leader has to be very strong, very powerful, and make very tough decisions. And not everyone, there are people that get hurt in these decisions. Not everyone would describe in history people who, in hindsight, we look back and recognize as being successful leaders. Not everyone would we describe as with such beautiful terms of love, and awe and appreciation. A good leader is a warrior more often than not, and has to make some very, very painful decisions, and has to be very strong and stiff, stoic, and it's surprising that these are going to be the terms that we're going to use to describe a leader. I guess we never saw Mashiach, so we don't know exactly what, but over here it's a prophecy of describing the beauty of Melech HaMashiach. However, not everyone agrees that this is the pshat. Rashi right away, says something very, very powerful. And Rashi says, who's the Al HaShashanim? So Rashi, number one, disagrees with the Mitzudas that we're not describing over here a musical instrument. And the Mizmar itself is telling us the subject. We don't have to go and rely upon our understanding of who the subject is. It says explicitly in the Mizmar, according to Rashi, who the subject is, and it is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim, people that sit and learn the whole day. I don't sit and learn the whole day, I shouldn't say that, not necessarily true, but people that are, you know, devoted to Torah, and they are called the Shoshanim. Allah, look at Rashi, the first Rashi, Al-Shoshanim, L'chvoid Talmidei Chachamim, Yistu Hashir Hazeh, Sheheim Rakim Kishosham. What does a Talmud Chacham have anything to do with a rose, a lily, whatever flower this refers to? They're delicate. Talmidei Chacham have delicate neshamas. They are rakim. They are soft. They are delicate. I don't want a good translation for the rakim. I think delicate. Okay, what rakim means? Still, they're soft. They're moist. By a human being, you don't say that. So I guess the appropriate word would be they're delicate. Kishoshanim, v'noim, they're beautiful. Kishoshanim, umartivim ma'asim tovim, and they're wet. What does it mean wet? They're fresh. They're fresh with ma'asim toivim kishoy shanim. They're constantly giving off good deeds. Their behavior is pleasant and beautiful. They're delicate people. They're sensitive people. It's a very powerful. Rashi's words over here, you could win a Nobel Prize, not Pulitzer Prize, for describing Talmidei Chachamim with such eloquent words.
But he doesn't interpret Shoshana as a musical instrument.
No, he disagrees. He totally disagrees. He disagrees. That's what he said. He totally disagrees. The word Shoshana is not a musical instrument, and the Mitzudas David is telling us, the Mizmor itself does not tell us, according to the Mitzudas, who the subject is. The Mitzudas David is saying, based upon, of course, the Radak, is that he's telling us that we have our assessment is that the subject is the Melech HaMashiach. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, number one, Shoshana is not a musical instrument, and in fact, the Mizmor itself is telling us who we are discussing. The subject here is, the subject is Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, Maskil, Ali Dei Turgumon. So he's saying over here is another powerful insight, a new idea. Maskil over here means, David is giving instructions that it's not enough when you sing this mizmor. We never had something like this before. Incredible insight. Rashi, what he says, that that when this mizmor is going to be recited, there should be also a miturgamon. And we all know that Kriyas HaTorah, Me'ikar Hadin, the way it was done in ancient times, and it's still done today by the Teimonim, is a miturgamon. By the Bima, you have the Baal Kriya, and you have also a miturgamon. And after every single pasuk that the Baal Kriya, I'm not sure exactly how they do it, maybe not.
It was some, but I did it after every pasuk.
Two psukim?
Yeah,
did a few psukim?
Two, but most did one. Well, you're not allowed to do more than two.
Now do more than two? So they would lane, and then you would pause, and the miturgamon would read the Aramaic. He would say the Aramaic. Okay, so that we don't.
They didn't lane the whole
set. They lane all, like Eretz Yisrael.
Like in Eretz Yisrael.
For many people, it takes too long even without the Meturgamon. Kol Shekein. Also, in Eretz Yisrael, they only lane 3 years. It was a 3-year cycle.
Right.
So therefore they laid much they laid much less, so they had more time.
You have it. The end of the Seder, it says how many at the end of the Chumash, it tells you how many prokim there were, not, you know, gives you. They broke it down. It was about 2/3 of a Seder.
2/3, right, okay. Right.
Something
okay.
Like that. Like the Reform. They laid Hazino on Yom Kippur.
You know, it haunts me what you told me.
The Reform Seder said laid Hazino about after Sedra.
You told me something once, and it totally—I can't get this out of my mind. It haunts me. Rabbi Mayevsky told me you once went to a shul, and the Baal Kriya was learning the parsha, the Torah, and on the Torah he put down a chumash. On the Torah, and when he was learning from the chumash. This haunts me. I don't know why. I can't get this out of my head.
Side, I saw somebody else doing it, so while I was laying, you know, things were like something happened. So I looked outside the sacred Torah to the Chumash on the side for a second. So the Rebbe was standing on the side from the old age home, he slapped me in the face. I was 15, you know, and he was an old man, but he gave me a whack.
You have to go read what it says. Fascinating. Okay, so Rashi over here disagrees. Rashi says that over here this shir was composed in honor of Talmidei Chachamim. Al Shoshanim, the word Shoshanim is the Talmidei Chachamim. These eloquent words to describe the Chavoy Talmidei Chachamim Yistu Hashir Hazeh. Okay, Maskel. Oh, so therefore he's saying over here an incredible thing that according to Rashi would appear that, okay, we have a minog. It used to be that during Kriyas HaTorah there was a miturgamon. Okay, but now, did you ever hear such a thing that when the Levim sang Shira, Hayoyim Yoyim Rishon B'Shabbos, Shemohoyu HaLevim Oimrim B'Mikdash, did you ever hear of such a thing where when the Levim sang Shira, there was a miturgamon, and in the middle of the song, someone would explain the words? You never heard of such a thing, right? You never heard of such a thing before. So it seems over here that Rashi over here is saying is that no, that's not true. that there are certain, it depends on the mizrah. Whenever it says in Tehillim, maskil, maskil is an instruction that the people that hear this mizmor, it is not sufficient, they should hear the melody. It's not enough. They should hear the melody, hear the words. Who says the people in the audience know what the words are? Go to a concert. Okay, I never went, I don't think I ever went to a concert my whole life. Maybe I did, I don't remember. Go to a concert. Mordechai Ben David, Avram Fried, Benny Friedman, all Ohad, all the big superstars, and they sing some very complicated, today it's a very complicated world, like Benny Friedman. He has these very complicated song lyrics, and he sings it rapid fire, very quickly. I have no idea what he's saying. I don't know what he's talking about. I need an instruction sheet, and they have, you know, some of these, the albums they have on the back, they have a whole, all the lyrics. And even we have all the lyrics, I don't even understand, I don't even know what the lyrics are. What, is this, what does it mean? You need a Perish Rashi on the lyrics. This is nothing new. My problem is not a new problem. This has been a problem from time immemorial, it seems. And then when the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash would sing the Shira by the Duchan, when they brought the Korbanos, and people would come, visitors would come to the Beis HaMikdash to watch the Avodah, which was a certain fact, who the people who in the audience didn't know what the Levim were doing. They would sing these beautiful melodies, maybe everyone was shuckling, and a nice kumzitz, but did they really understand what the Levim are singing? What are the words? What are the words? And if, even if you know what the words are, do you know what the words mean? Olam haba is a gute zach. Aber learning Torah is a bezach. Varevech yediach Torah noch and noch. Olam haba is a gute zach. If you don't know Yiddish, what does it mean? What does it mean? Olam haba is good, but Torah is better. Learn Torah more and more. Olam haba is better. First of all, you know, that song that I just translated became a very big controversy. And they wrote it up this year or last year in the magazine. It became a big, famous piece. Okay, what's the song? The very famous song. If you go to Chaim Berliner, we have a Chaim Berliner. Eliezer, they sing this at least for an hour. Olam haba is a good zach. But Torah is the best. It's better. So those are the lyrics in Yiddish. First of all, who composed this song? No one knows. No one knows who composed this. No one knows who composed the lyrics. And now comes the big question. Who says that this is true? Who says that Torah is greater than Olam Haba? What? So then, Olam Haba is greater.
Right.
So you have a song. We don't know who composed it. We don't know who composed the melody. We don't know who composed the lyrics. The whole world sings this song for hours and hours and hours and hours. And now the question is, wait a minute. Let's stop. Olam Haba is very, very great. But learning Torah is even greater. Okay, I hear the concept. We can all appreciate. Who says?
Rabbi,
prove it.
It's just getting the people inspired for whatever.
No. For an hours and hours and hours to brainwash the whole world. The whole world. What is going on here? Who says? You have a pasuk. You have a Maimon Chazal. You have a Zohar. What does this mean? Olam Haba is a wonderful thing, but learning Torah is even greater.
But Rabbi, when we learn Davin in the morning, there's six parakim between the Ashrei and the Tehillim, and most people don't understand that.
That's a very big problem.
Yeah.
It's a very big problem. You hit the nail on the head. It's a very big problem. Okay, so who... So you have to spend, the person has to devote himself to perish, to learning the perish of Tefillah. 100%. Yeah,
it's when you actually done it, you don't remember. It's so complicated.
It takes a whole life. It's a life work to know how to daven, to know what you're saying, and to have kavana.
COVID accomplished for me. I was able to stop and think about what I was saying.
Some people, COVID lockdown, they daven 2 hours a day. For some people, they didn't daven at all. It didn't work for everyone. I think it was more harm than good for most people. But this became a very big topic of discussion lately, of where does this, you have a Gemara, you have a Pasuk, you have a Chazal, what do the words even mean? So the only thing they have is that this song was sung in the presence, we have eyewitness. I mean, obviously no one's alive anymore, but there's eyewitness that this song was sung in the presence of Rav Chaim Mevolozhin. Rav Chaim Mevolozhin, they sang this song in his presence, and he did not protest. It seems that it's authentic that they sang it in front of him, and he did not.
So,
what in the Mishpacha magazine?
They didn't tell you what
you have to go to the sources.
What they didn't tell you was Chaim Mevolozhin was deaf.
No, that's not true.
They have no idea.
Could be. I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
It's nice, and that's all. And so, take it for more than what it is.
Yeah, I listen. Some people take it very seriously. It's something that is tradition. It is tradition. Hanach lohem li Yisrael im einam neviim b'nei neviim. So what would be a very good idea? That in the middle of each, after you said each lyric, stop. Go to a Mordechai Ben David concert, and after he sings one line, they stop all the music, and a rabbi gets up and explains in detail what the words mean. What is the Perish Hamilos? So you're saying it's ridiculous, right? Well, guess what? That's exactly what it says here in Rashi. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, the Leviim are masters in song, beautiful voices, beautiful, they have musical instruments, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. David says, when you play this mizmor in the Beis HaMikdash, maskil, make sure the people understand what it means. Stop in the middle of each pasuk, like the Teimonim do during Kriyas HaTorah, and a person should get up who's qualified and knowledgeable and explain, be mitargim the words. That's what it says. Haloi Dover, that's exactly what it says.
Yeah.
This first pasuk over here, according to this, Lamatzeach, I give this over to the conductor. You should know Al Shoishanim. This mizmor is being recited in honor of Talmidei Chachamim. The text, the nusach, is Talmidei Chachamim. Livnei Koirach. Well, Rashi doesn't come. We're going to assume over here that the only ones that can play this nigun are going to be the Bnei Koirach. And that makes a lot of sense, because the Bnei Koirach are the ones who challenged Koirach was the one who challenged the ultimate Talmud Chacham in Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. Koirach tried to take down Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe if Koirach's descendants will now sing a song in honor of Talmidei Chachamim, the students of Moshe Rabbeinu, that will be a tikkun for their nesham, for the nesham of their ancestor Koirach. Maskil, you better make sure that when this nigun is played for the tzibur, people who listen should understand what's being said, because people have to have an appreciation of who Talmidei Chachamim are. This is a very good drosh for the Agudah convention. You have to appreciate who Talmidei Chachamim are, yeah?
Can I just say something about that? Sometimes when somebody sings the same song, two people will sing the same song, and suddenly when one of them is attacked, the other one will sing it, Rachash Libi, suddenly you feel what it says exactly. I used to love to listen to Pavarotti.
To who?
Pavarotti.
Yeah, he's an Italian, but he's singing the same opera, the same song that he sang. Suddenly you understand what's going on, even if you don't understand the words. Suddenly it gets to you. It can
absolutely.
If you say the great poem, I want them to sing that. Why? That's his point. I don't know.
People have to understand.
Even if they don't understand, they feel it. They know what it is.
Absolutely. 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 There's a certain love with the music opens up your neshama to understand. Absolutely. Okay, let's finish with the Rashi. Rashi again, it says over Al Yidei, it has to be through a Meturgamon. Okay, next. Shir Yididois. Shir Ahovim, a shir of love. Shir Shal Shevach Lohem Leha Ahivam Al Habrios. Very powerful stuff. The purpose of this shir is to make the people have an appreciation of Talmidei Chachamim, so that the Talmidei Chachamim should be beloved by the people. The people have to appreciate the Talmidei Chachamim, ulahahiv Torah smaleim, in order to make it come about that the love of their Torah should be appreciated and loved by the people. If you love the Talmud Chacham, the person, everything he does is good. Everything he does is good. You see in politics, lahavil elef alfi avdalos. If you like the person you vote, everything he does is good. Whatever he'll do, if you're a supporter of Trump, whatever will come out of his mouth, oh, genius. If you like Biden, whatever comes out, oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Kachi darkoy shalaylam. If you love the person, whatever they do is you can dreh it azoy and azoy. It can be connected to kolat harakula, but you know, he's my hero. Oh, mamela, everything he does, yim yashiv. Well, unfortunately, that's a lot of that is sheker in Alma de Sheker. But when it comes to Talmidei Chacham, it's true. Talmidei Chachamim, they learn and they teach emes. Real Talmidei Chachamim, who have no negias. And therefore, this shir is a shir of Rashi's words over here are incredibly potent. Every word of these Rashi over here is mamish, incredible, incredible stuff. Shir Yididois, it's a shir of Ahavim, a shir of love. And then he goes on to say, a shir shal shevach lohem. It is a shir to praise, to give the highest praise to Talmidei Chacham. So for what purpose? Why are you praising Talmidei Chacham? What do you care? So that they should be beloved by the people, by Klal Yisrael. Le shir shevach lohem, le ha a hivam al habrios. That people should love Talmidei Chachamim. For what purpose? Why do we want people to love Talmidei Chachamim? So that when they teach Torah, people will absorb and will love the words of Torah. Uleha ahiv Torah sam alehem upon the population. Okay, so far we have learned two perushim. We learned the mitzudais, which is really a lot of the mepharshim, they echo those words. The mitzudais came later, of course. Then the mitzudais, and that is, it's referring to the Melech HaMashiach. Rashi, completely different. It is a shir of to praise Talmidei Chacham. Look at the Targum. Targum says something really shocking. Pasuk Aleph from the Targum, Lisha Bocha means praise. Now notice also, by the way, that the Targum doesn't learn, the whole Talmud is like this, does not learn La Matzechim for the conductor. Okay, he has a very, he has a whole different translation, which means it is a song of Shevach. Lisha Bocha. It's not a person, not the conductor. This is a mizmor, lamatzeach, and the goal is to give praise. Okay, lamatzeach.
The malachim do, menatzchim.
Victory, to victorious. To be menatzeach, to be victorious. To be victorious.
Menatzchim b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They mean one of the mitzuach, the mitzuach menatzchim.
It's one of the
to praise Hashem. Okay, it's an expression. Oh, elu v'elu menatzchem. Elu v'elu menatzchem. Okay, but it's probably a bar because menatzech means to be victorious. When you sing, like you have someone sings the harmony. We have a choir. When you have a choir, so one singer sings low, and then the other, his voice rises higher than his fellow. In a choir, one, there's always a it's like a battle. There's one that, ze kom, ze neufel. You raise your voice in certain points of the melody, and you lower your voice. Some of the singers, they sing harmony, some of them go solo. They are menatzeach over one another. So when you have angels that are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it appears to an observer that they're fighting a battle. And one of them is victorious. One of them prevails. To prevail. They prevail in expressing Shevach to Hashem over the other. It's a battle. Who can praise Hashem more? But it's not a battle. They're doing it together in an organized way, which where they allow each one of them allows the other to prevail upon them at certain given points. Art Scroll says this. Art Scroll says this. I remember this. I don't know. Everyone says this. It's a basic. Because what does the word literally mean? The word lamatzech means to be victorious. Nitzochoin. Comes from the word of nitzochon, victory. When you have a choir and you have an orchestra, there are certain players and there are certain singers that prevail upon their companions. Even within the song itself, there's a certain low section and then you go high. You go to the high section. The high section, you're prevailing. So we use, when we describe a melody of praise, it's described in a borrowed term of lam natzeach. It's a borrowed term. Okay, so that's what the Targum says.
The music instruments. One of them, you have a chalil and you have a trumpet and you have this. Each one
has its time. Each has its term, has its time to go solo. It prevails. Now the flute is prevailing. Now the violin prevails. Now the trumpet. And when you sing, it's a borrowed term to describe an orchestra, to describe a choir. That's a basic shot.
Both the partners are supposed to play together.
That's too boring. That's boring. When you have a sophisticated choir, there's harmony. There are many. What?
Harmony is a blend.
Yeah, but sometimes the people who do the harmony, they prevail. You see, know where I learned this all from? People don't give him enough credit. Yerachmiel Begun. When I was a child in MTJ. So he was a rebbe in MTJ. Yerachmiel Begun. And he was a young guy. He wasn't even married. He wasn't married then. He wasn't married. And then when he got married, I think he was 26 years old when he got married. And he said, oh, he's an alte bocha, 100 years old, 26 years old. He was a rebbe in MTJ. And because he already had his Miami Boys Choir already. That was already, can you imagine, he was 26 years old. He already was famous. 26 years old. Already he was world famous. And in MTJ, what do you think? He's going to sit and do nothing there. So he took all the kids in MTJ and he made a choir. I was in the choir until he threw me out. I remember Mamish in front of me, Adi Amazeh, how he called me aside and he told me in very nice way,
"I can't carry a tune.
I can't carry a tune. I'm out. I was so insulted. My brother, though, he carried on for a very long time with him. And I had a way, and my parents said, "When you go home on Sunday, I have to walk home together with my brother." So I had to wait. So every day when yeshiva was over, I would basically stay in the room there where the choir was. Now, because I had to wait, they had choir practice, and I watched him very carefully. And he's a genius. He's a genius of geniuses. I mean, his compositions are really, really unique. But one thing I noticed about him is, He, if you listen to his albums, they're very complex. They're very complex. Mr. Murillis, they sing, none of his albums, none of them, they sing together. They sing together for maybe 10 seconds. And then this one has a solo, that one has a solo, and this, and this, and this, and this. It's like this restlessness, this intense restlessness, where this chaos almost, in how he, everyone, every moment in time, there's someone else has their moment. And this one, and this one, and he doesn't allow you to settle down even for a. It's chaotic. His technique, his method, he's very wild. He's chaotic in how he and that is very appealing for many people. It's an exciting type of a composition. The way he conducts his choir, that's what it means. Lamatzeach. Okay, in a choir, in a performance. Each member of the choir, each instrument, each part, section is prevailing upon one another. Okay, now, next word. So therefore, it's a bar that Lisha Bacha, we're going to praise Hashem. Al Yosvei, look what he says, Al Yosvei Sanhedrin de Moshe. Ah, who is it in reference to? We're going to praise the Sanhedrin. Okay, so this composition is a composition in honor of the Sanhedrin. This is the Targum. The Moshe, the Is Amar Binavua Al Yidehoin Divnei Koirach. Sichla Tova, this is a brilliant insight, analysis. Visush Bachto, Vioidousa, now Vioidousa, he teaches Yididois. I don't know what that word means. Vioidousa in the acknowledgement. Yidid means my friend. I have to. I should have looked it up. I didn't look. I try now to look up the Targum every time before the shir to translate the words. I have to go back on that. Ve'odu'usa, which could mean like a yidid. Yidid is a beloved. I'm not sure. I have to go look it up. I have to maybe be precise. But in any event, what he's saying over here, and just the gist of he's saying over here. First of all, he comes to disagree. Yeah. Friends. Okay, friends. Okay, now, the basic gist of what the Targum is saying is this composition. First of all, it's critical to appreciate that the Targum learns the Bnei Korach are the ones who wrote this Mizmor, not David. This is not like what we said until that David wrote the Mizmor and David gave instructions that the ones that shall sing the Mizmor shall be none other than the descendants of Bnei. No, 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 no. That's not what it means. Yes, Beferish.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. You don't even need to say prophecy because they were living in the time of the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Bnei Korach, the three Bnei Korach, they learned the few Mizraim, there were three children that survived. They, when they were in the Mokim Nispatz Elohim, there was a platform they stood upon down in the pit. When the earth opened up, they did Teshuvah and they composed this Mizmar. They are the ones who wrote this Mizmar word for word. These are their words. It was preserved for all these years, and they were obviously doing teshuvah on the spot because they were father and them and Dosan Vavinam and the 250 men all rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's not just Moshe, it's Moshe and his Sanhedrin, his court. And here they're coming to do teshuvah and they're praising the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu. At Esfeli Shivimish, Mizikne Yisrael, Moshe collected Hashem Piruch HaKodesh 70 people. And I'm assuming those 70 people were part of Moshe's team to defend Moshe Rabbeinu against the Korach and the whole rebellion. And here they went to sing the Shevach Al Shoshanim, the Shoshanim. This gives a whole new meaning, is not just Stam Talmidei Chachamim, it's not a musical instrument. The word Shoshanim is a code word for the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu.
So you see, it was more than Rashi,
sorry?
I'm
sorry? Moshe only had 70 people. Moshe only had 70 people in the Sanhedrin.
Yeah, so
Korach had 250 followers. The people of the Korach.
It says.
Does what?
It says Sanhedrin. 250 Rishis and Unbrides.
There were 250 followers of Korach. Korach, there was Korach, Dosan Va'aviron, Oin Ben Peles, and 250 men who were part of the core of Korach's political party. Korach's.
When you say the Pasuk you quote, it happened in Bala.
So when did it happen?
Before the Bnei Korach, before the Maisim. All right. The 70 weren't around then.
They weren't then.
But what he's alluding to is that what Rashi says is that part of the 250 was the Sanhedrin.
Part of the 250 was the Sanhedrin. Okay.
That's one. Oh, so who's Sanhedrin? So the fourth process, why the... In other words, what did Chazal say over there? Why did the Nesiim change suddenly when you have the Nesiim in Nassau, suddenly in Shalach, it changed, it kept changing because part of those Nesiim that were in Nassau were part of the Bnei Korach. Yeah.
But you're talking about Shivim.
I mean, that's the fourth process.
Sanhedrin de Moshe.
You don't know.
Atagum, Sanhedrin de Moshe. So we're talking Anshe Chai, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emet, Sonei Batza.
Okay, wherever the Sanhedrin was, who says at this point in time it was 70? Maybe it was 23. Maybe it was 3. It's his Moshe's followers. The Sanhedrin de Moshe, so it's an incredible interpretation. The word Shoshanim is a code word for the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin of Moshe. Okay, that's three interpretations. Now there's another interpretation which many Mepharshim say, we have to go far, and they say that this Mizmor was composed by David in honor of his son Shlomo HaMelech. B'yoyim chupasoy, when he got married. When Shlomo HaMelech married, when he got married, David composed this Mizmor as a wedding gift. It reminds me of Beryl Wan, who always says that in medieval times, when you went to a guest, say today if you're invited as you go to home for Shabbos. So what do you do? It depends if you're very wealthy, whatever the story is. If you're a guest at someone's home, you bring a bottle of wine. You bring from O'Nuts, you bring a little platter. You bring from, you bring from the nuttery. Anyone know what the nuttery is? The nuttery. It's like O'Nuts on steroids. You go bring, you go. What? Borough Park.
Public. I had it for a while. I called it. I had a telephone line, Nuts to You.
nuts to you? Okay, so when you go to someone's home for Shabbos, you bring them a little gift. You bring them a little gift. You bring them a bottle of wine. You bring them some chocolate. You bring them a book. Okay, you bring someone a gift. When you go to visit someone for Shabbos, you give them a gift. Beryl Wine says that in medieval times, when you go to someone's house for Shabbos, you know what you bring them? A poem.
It wasn't in medieval times. My grandfather was asked to do that. He wrote for people.
Modern times.
He wrote a Shir HaMaalos for my parents' wedding. You know, like that.
No, but even just stop. When you go to someone's house for Shabbos, you go, let's say someone's making an ufruf, so you go and you're a guest, they put you up in someone's house. So what do? You bring them a poem. Could you imagine that, Mr. Marillas? Every time you go to someone's house, you bring them a poem. What? A math formula. You bring them a poem. This is what was done in ancient. Can everybody say? So this is what Shlomo HaMelech, his wedding present. This was his wedding gift to Shlomo. David wrote in honor of Shlomo when Shlomo got married. Lamatzech al Shoshanim. The Shoshanim means, I guess, it's a code word for the marriage. Because when you get married, they have flowers. It's a beautiful experience. Livdei Korach, I guess, for whatever reason, they Korach, they maskil a shir yididos, a shir of love. A shir yididos is a code word for sheva brachas. When you're going over here for an ofrof, you're going for a sheva brachas, who are we referring to? We're referring to over here in honor of what? Look at the Malbum, the Malbum page, 401. Pasik Aleph Lamatzeach, Shir Ze, Yisadu B'nei Korach, L'chvoyr HaMelech V'HaMalka. It was composed. Who composed it? So it says over here, according to the presentation, of Mordechai, good morning. I see Mordechai on the screen. Welcome. Good to see you. So it says, Shir Ze, Yisadu B'nei Korach, L'chvoyr HaMelech V'HaMalka. Rav Mordechai, if you try to talk, it could be that I can't hear you because we're having, again, problems. Now I can hear you. Good. It's low. It's very, very low. So I can't always hear what you say. In case you speak up, I might not hear you right away because something is still wrong. I know what it is now. But at least I made progress. I know what the problem is. And to fix it is another story. But at least I can hear you. Okay. So Shir Ze Yisdu B'nei Korach L'chvod HaMelech V'HaMalka B'yom Chasunah. So look at the Malbum. Very important Malbum. Page 401 in the Malbum on the bottom, on the right side, was composed by B'nei Korach L'chvod HaMelech V'HaMalka B'yom Chasunah So B'yom Simchas Liboy Im Bas Melech Tzor. Okay. With the daughter of the king of Tyre. Shenis Gaira V'yochol Liyoy Shenis Yaseh B'mei Shloima Shalokach bas melech tzor v'gira v'yalze kiro'o b'shem shir yididois. An incredible interpretation. Okay? Is Yedidya. Ah, beautiful. Yedidya. So here is another interpretation that this was composed, and he says, I said by David. No. It says it's composed by the B'nei Korach. I guess it means the descendants. I'm assuming over here that in this context, what it means over here is that it was composed by not, the B'nai Korach, it wasn't Alpi Nevuah when they were sitting in the pit in Gehenim. They were prophesizing about Shlomo HaMelech, what's going to be in a thousand years. Not Mestavra, it means the B'nai Korach of that generation. In the generation of when Shlomo HaMelech got married, okay, which would then mean that if you're going to say this, take this pshat to the nth degree, it would mean that Tehillim was not complete until after David died. Now we have this belief that Tehillim was a finished book before David HaMelech passed away. We have this belief that David either himself wrote every single Mizmar. Chazal seemed to say that's not true. There were 10 contributors to Tehillim. There was Moshe, the B'nai Korach. There were other prophets, the other people. I don't remember all the people. There were 10. There were 10 people that contributed. So something, no, it's not what it means. It means that they, those people, they just said the essence. Like you told me, Rabbi Shol Zev Lobel, you told me yesterday about Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon, who composed Birchas HaMazon? The same thing that when really David HaMelech, he composed everything. And when it says the 10 different people mentioned, it doesn't mean that these are exactly their words. It was David's assessment of what they would have said, the essence of what they expressed in their lifetime. But we do get the impression, however you want to learn, whether there are other contributors or David himself is the one that wrote it and just put people's name on certain mizmarim, that it was a complete book by the time David HaMelech left this world. And if you take what the Malbim says to an extreme, it would indicate that's not true. It's that there were certain mizmarim that were added to the mizmar, to Tehillim, after David. For example, this one. If this one was composed, let's say, by the descendants of Korach at the wedding of Shlomo HaMelech, when he married Basar. When did Shlomo marry Basar? L'chaira, after David died. David, when David died, it seems that mostly he married 1,000 women. Right? Mark, 1,000 wives. What do you, Mayor, what would you do, Mayor, with that? What's so funny? What's so funny to have 1,000 wives? What? How many shvigas? May I think about that? 1,000 shvigas? 1,000 shvigas. 1,000 mother-in-laws. Wow, unbelievable, huh? Okay, so it seems that Shlomo married most of his wives, if not all of them, after David died. And one of the celebrity wives that he married was the daughter of the king of Tsar.
That implies that there was an editor after David died.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. That the editor took this book, which has 99% of the Mizmum of David. Oh, let's throw in one more. Let's throw in what the B'nai Korach composed in honor of Shlomo HaMelech at his wedding to Basar. Shemen is chiddush to say that. Is that there were things that were not yet even composed when David died and was later compiled, I guess, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. I mean, that's very late. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah began in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So it was not, even Tehillim was not yet complete until a later point in time. Yeah, Michel Zev, yeah?
Yeah, when it said Aaron, married Basar, right before that's a different.
The difference is Basparo. This is Basar. This is Melch Tsar.
It's about because you have these two parishes that Yaakov got married late and Yitzhak didn't get married for 40 and so on and so forth. Barbanel makes it when it said, what does it mean, Ben Shloshesre, Ben Shmonesre, and Lechukah, 18 to get married? It means one should not get married before 18, because, and it gives the example of Shlomo HaMelech, who did, and look what happened. Because it's a dangerous game to get married when you're not mature enough to understand marriage.
Absolutely.
Some
say just the opposite. You get married when you're young, because if you wait too long, you're in trouble. All right, so basically, this is a whole new pshat. There's one more pshat, pshat number 5. Look in the Sipurno, on page 400 in the Sipurno, one more pshat. Okay, b'zeh ha-mizmor he'ir he'ir chach me'adoros zeh ha-golos lo'hovin ul'horos amito shel Torah b'moifsim sichliim Leman Yisku Doroysam L'chaye Oilam V'sigrav Hagula. The Sipurno is continuing in the theme. Okay, Rabbi, the Sipurno is continuing in the theme of the last number of Mizmarim. The last number of Mizmarim is dealing with Golos, the darkness, the Cheshkas HaGolos. And he's this saying that this Mizmar is a continuation of Golos, and is telling us, you want to survive Golos. In Golos, the only way to survive is the Koyach of Torah. We say on Yom Kippurim, Ni'ilo, Ein lanu shiur rak ha-Torah hazos. Okay, it's interesting. Torah Shebal Peh developed after the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's when it really flourished. When there was the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, during the Bayis Rishon, we don't really find an emphasis, not that there wasn't, that we don't really know, but an emphasis on Limud ha-Torah. The Shechina was resting amongst the Jewish people. There was Avoida. The Iker was Avoida, to daven, to bring korbanos, to live, to serve Hashem through Avoida. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a development. I mean, the Churban Bayis Sheni coincided with Rabbeinu, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Mishnayis, and then the Gemara, and the development of Torah Shebal Peh. But we don't find the intensity of the chavivos of Limud HaTorah during the time of the Bayis Rishon, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The koyach of Limud HaTorah is something which developed in time after the Churban. And this Sipurna was really, it's a powerful Sipurna. He's saying, look, the last number of Mizmarim have been very heavily focused on Golos, the darkness, the difficulty of Golos. Along comes this Mizmar, he learns, it talks about Torah. It's all about Torah. Amita Shel, he uses this word, Amita Shel Torah, very powerful expression. And it's done, this is the tool for survival. Here you are, we just learned about Golos. I don't know. One more time, the words. I don't know. Zeh ha-mizmar, he'ir chachmei adoros, zeh ha-golo, zeh ha-mizmar, he'ir, have enlightened us, the chachmei adoros, zeh ha-golos, lohovin u'lohoros, to understand and to teach, amito shel Torah, b'moivsim sichlim. I think it means wondrous insight. It doesn't mean miracles, it means wondrous insight. You learn a daf gemara. The amount of chochma in one daf gemara is more potent than all of the science the world has to offer. Torah, I tell you many, many times, why do people come to learn daf yomi at night? They go learn a daf. You know, at home, there is, if you've ever seen a movie, a good movie, this incredible chokhma, it's the amount of chokhma, something good, there's a lot of garbage. 99.99% of what's out there is mamish, garbage, pornography, filth, and schmutz. But there are things out there, chokhma ba'amim tamen. There are things out there that are very entertaining, kosher entertainment, pretty much, whatever that means, and are really mole chokhma. So how you go to learn a Gemara, and on the Gemara, shor shenogach es hapara, an ox gores a cow, and it's pregnant. It's not very exciting. You learn about Nidorim, Koinam, and about Nidre Havoi, Nidre Zeluzin. It's not very like you go watch something on, you go watch some type of a movie with multi million dollar a technology. Fascinating. It's unbelievable. So why would a person go and learn a Daf Gemara and not go spend time looking at this Narishkeit? Mm-hmm. You know what the answer is? Because a person deep down knows, after watching a movie that cost $500 million, no joke, to produce, it's sheker. The ideas, the concepts, it's wow. But your neshama can detect the ideas, the lessons, the musa, whatever they're trying to present, it's off, it's sheker. You learn a Daf Gemara, what appears to be, pardon the expression, boring topics, but the words are emes. Shor shenogach es hapara. Shnayim oichazim betalas. Ze oimer kula shali v'ze oimer kula shali. Your neshama can detect that the ideas, the concepts that are presented are so true. Is MS. There is nothing that satisfies the neshama more than MS. MS, it touches your heart like nothing else. You can show someone a movie that was done with literally $1 billion of technology. And yet you walk away, very nice, but you know something? Deep down in my heart, I know that the whole thing is sheker. Everything they're presenting over here and all the whole message, the whole thing, yeah, it's nice, special effects, and this and this. No, sometimes there is. There are messages. It's not so chokhma ba'am tam. There are messages. There are very powerful things out there. There are very powerful things out there. Everyone knows. Everyone has seen things that they make an impression upon them. But at the end of the day, it's all sheker. And even if it's not total sheker, there's always elements of sheker. Torah. Every single word of Torah is pure, unadulterated MS, and it affects your neshama. And that's why we all learn. That's why we come here, come over here. There's MS. He writes here, this Mizmor is teaching you that lesson. We're coming to praise the Amita Shel Torah. The Amita Shel Torah, the words are, they are sichliim mufloim, wondrous insights into the way Hashem runs the world, of the human condition. What are the words of the Sipur? No, one more time. The words of the Sipur, no, one more time. I lost the place over here. I don't know, the words are a little hard for me. The MS. The MS of Torah. Bimoivsim sichliim. Wondrous insights. A simple concept. Shnayim oichazim betala. Ze oimer kula shali, ze oimer kula shali. Machleik is in the Mishnah. What do you do? Yachloiku. Mach all the different cases. Leman Yizku. Look at these beautiful words of Sipurno. So that the,
what you just said, though, it's important. I mean, what makes it so great is the reason Yachloiku and Chetzi Shali.
Right. You have to go into the Lumdis.
You don't want somebody to lie.
You go into the Lumdis.
Yeah.
And every.
That's the
every svara that is presented in the Rishonim is mamish, touches your heart deep down because it's emes. It's emes. It's free. It's right in front of you. It's simple words, but it's emes. And all the special effects, the glamour and glitter of the Goyshe Welt, it's kula sheker. It really is. That's how it is. And he writes, Leman, and look at the next words of the Sipurna, Leman, what's the purpose of knowing this and appreciating the Amita Shel Torah? Leman yisku doyroisam lechaye oilam. Live your life, take advantage of every moment in your life to be zecha to the next world. The sikrav hagu'ula, and we should get out of the golas. That's the theme. The omar shazeh hamizmar hu shir yididois, a shir of love. Shehu le'oirer, it's all to awaken. When you appreciate the Amita Shel Torah, it awakens. Ahavas Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim ule'oirer, and to awaken ahavosoy el amo, by loving the Torah Yisrael v'oiraisa v'kudshu b'richu charu, to awaken this relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amita Shel Torah. So let's sach hakol, what do we have over here? We have learned over here five, we're starting over here, and then we have a very big treat. We have a treat. Rav Kalman Shiloini is going to give us a shir. Whatever, you'll say something, you'll come, you'll say, right after I turn it, we'll summarize, and Rav Kalman is going to come over here, he's going to discuss Rivka. Because yesterday, unfortunately, I think I didn't conclude with the Maisa, with Rivka, in a proper Derech Eretz. I didn't mean it the way it came out. And Rav Kalman is going to be Meshaper, Mashlim, what we were trying to say. But before, just to summarize, what did we learn today? We learned anything today. Today we just learned the Hagdama to this Mizmar. This Mizmar, for some reason, appeals to me a lot. I got very excited when I prepared this Mizmar, because this Mizmar is, we have five Perushim as to the subject of this Mizmar. Number one is what the Mitzuda says, which appears to be the most common approach of most of the Rishonim. This is a Mizmar giving Shevach to the Melech HaMashiach. The subject of this Mizmar is the Melech HaMashiach. Rashi, in the most beautiful words, explains that the subject of this Mizmar are the Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmidei, to have an appreciation for Talmidei Chachamim. Then we learned from, let's say, we'll go out of order, the Malbim, the subject is Shaloimai HaMelech, when he got married. This was an expression of bracha and love to wish the success of Binyan Adayat. Shlomo HaMelech's wedding. And then we learn the Sipurno. Sipurno says simply, it is Torah. It's not the, he doesn't say that's referring to Talmidei Chachamim. It's the Chavivus of Torah. The Chavivus of Torah, which is the tool of survival in Golus. Ein lonu shiur rak ha-Torah ha-Zois. And then we have the Targum, Pshat number 5, that says it was composed by the Bnei Korach in tribute to the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, to be continued tomorrow. And Narav Kalman, please come over here by the microphone so we can hear you very clearly. No, please, come.
Okay, I